Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Sam Michael, and welcome to another episode of the most self-explanatory podcast out there. This is comedians talking about football. Very simple premise. I pretty much just told you it. Each episode, we have a different comedian who comes on the show, talks about the lows, the highs, the overpriced pies, and pretty much everything else that comes with supporting a football team. This episode is the official kickoff to the brand new series. If you're new here, then welcome. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and we've got loads of other episodes with great guests for you to listen to also. If you're a long-running listener, then welcome back. I hope you enjoy this series with more fantastic guests talking about football. For now, though, we have a fantastic comedian with us today. She is a huge West Bromwich Albion fan. She's known, actually, within the West Bromwich fan community. She's very good friends with a famous fan in particular, Mr. Adrian Charles. How good a friend is she with him? Well, she even attended his stag do. Some stories about that coming up. So, without further ado, this is Karen Bailey talking about West Bromwich Albion on Comedians Talking About Football.
Football. Soccer. At the end of the day. Football. It's a funny old game.
It's a game of joie.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
You might see my dog's arse every now and again.
That's fine. No problem at all. No problem at all. Well, Karen Bailey, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, all good, thank you. We're here to talk West Bromwich Albion today.
I'm always asked to talk about West Brom when we're rubbish. But I am Talk Sport's go-to West Brom person when we're losing. They don't ask me on when we're winning.
I feel like with West Brom, maybe there's a situation where, because you've been, pardon the expression, a yo-yo team for a while, that if you guys don't go up...
Like somebody's cut the string.
Yeah, exactly that, exactly that. Which no doubt we'll talk about in this episode. Well... Where else would I start except with the bombshell you dropped on me when we were organising this recording, that you went on the stag do of Mr. Adrian Charles, an iconic West Bromwich Albion fan. How did that come about, and how was it?
It was really good fun. I met Adrian through Joe Lycett, and we shared the fact that we're Albion fans, and then I've gone to quite a lot of matches with Adrian, so if he's got a spare ticket, I've gone along with him. And then I hadn't seen him since lockdown, and then I just got a text going, oh, I'm getting married on Saturday, do you want to come for some drinks? And I went, yes, please. So yeah, and it was funny because we went back to his friend's house, so we went to this pub And because I was dry, I was driving because I wasn't drinking at the time. Because when I got to his friend's house, I nicked a few whiskies and ended up on the sofa. So when we were walking back, so I gave a couple of his mates a lift back to the house. And Adrian and his mate John were walking down. It's like in his country lane. And we get home and like John and Adrian are looking like really sheepish. And John goes, "Did you see us moon you?" And I went, "No." And he turned around to me, he said, "Shit, I told you it was the waitress from the pub." So they decided to moon us on the way past and they got the wrong car.
Oh, that's amazing. That's fantastic. I just love that you were like, "Yeah, I'm just can't do this week. I'm going Adrian Charles's stag do on the weekend." I just thought that was absolutely fantastic. And obviously, yeah. I was going to ask actually if there were any legends there, because he's obviously got quite a good relationship with some of like West Brom's ex players,
some of his old friends. So there is his the guy that was going to be his best man, and then who is another fellow Albion fan, and then there was a cricketer. And his old schoolmate. So that was it, really. There weren't many of us. I was quite honoured to be there. I was an honorary baggy, I think.
That's great. I've always really respected Adrian Charles in that sense of, like, he was so, you know, very high up involved in sports punditry, especially when he moved over to ITV. He was the main man. But he's always seems to me, and you probably know him more personally, as like, you know, like a proper fan, goes to all the games, meets mates at pubs and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he goes with, he sits with, there's a guy that he used to go to school with. The group of people who I've got to know, the people who sit around him are all old school friends. And so that's really nice. So they all sort of meet up and go to a little old man's pub before the game. Hmm. And then all walk down to the pit. And there's always people, you know, as he's going into the ground, there's loads of people. "You're all right, mate. You're all right, Adrian." You know, so he's a friendly face there.
Oh, fantastic. And how about you, Karen? Where did it start for you with West Brom?
Inherited it. So my dad's from West Brom. My granddad, West Brom. So all our family are West Brom. And I've got two older brothers. So it was very much a case of support the football or not join in. So, but I absolutely love it. So, yeah, it was in the blood, so to speak.
Well, yeah, you're a very passionate fan. And as you've already said, I've heard you a lot go on to talk sport, to discuss West Brom and the various positions over the years. So I've already broken tradition, but I needed to talk about the Adrian Charles stag do. But what we normally do is, just to get to know each other, we start with a quick fire selection of questions. Some of them are ones that we ask everybody, and some of them are tailored specifically to the person that I'm talking about. So first question, of course, you're a West Brom fan. Is that your local team?
Yes. I live in Birmingham City Centre. So I suppose the closest is Villa. I think Villa's about 2 or 3 miles away, and the Albion's about 4 miles. But I can get the tram and go straight from my boat, because I live in a boat. So I can literally get the tram right from out my boat, and that goes directly to the Hawthorns. So that's nice. Pretty local.
That's nice. That. Now, you were saying as well, though, just now, so your dad actually grew up, did he grow up closer to the stadium, did he? Or
yeah, my dad grew up in West Brom. Yeah,
I'm a granddad. You do find somewhere, especially in London, some people grow up near a particular stadium, but make the choice. So say someone might grow up near Chelsea, for example, but they specifically choose to be an Arsenal fan. I always take that's not always the, especially kind of the older fans, like, you know, like your dad, of course, from back in the day. Mm. It was very in Birmingham. It was specific to either Birmingham, Aston Villa or West Brom.
So there's Wolves and West Brom with the Black Countryside, and then Birmingham and Villa are supposedly the Birmingham sides. But the rivalry, especially amongst the older fans, is definitely between Villa and West Brom.
Mm. Well, that was going to be my next... yeah, my next question was going to be, who do you consider the biggest rivals?
Yeah, now a lot of the younger fans hate Wolves, but a lot of the older fans hate Villa. And this is actually when I first got to know Adrian, when I first met him, he texts me, it's when Villa were playing Arsenal in the FA Cup.
Hmm.
And he texts me and he said, do you want to come to the pub? I'm gathering friends that hate Villa to watch the match. And every time Arsenal scored, he kept jumping up and he's going, am I allowed to swear on this, by the way?
Of course you are, yeah.
Yeah, he jumped up at one point when they scored and he turned around to me and went, oh, am I being a bit of a cunt?
Oh, and that's okay. So my next question is, and again, this is one I ask everybody, club over country, yes or no?
That's hard. Because I love watching England play and I get really into England. But I suppose it would have to be club. But I think it's not very comparable, really.
Yeah, it's a hard one. So when I sort of try, because a lot of people give that sort of answer, this sort of an um and an but then I suppose a loaded question I can ask off the back of that is, would you rather in the next 5 years see England win the World Cup or West Brom lift the Premier League trophy?
Well, because it's completely impossible, I'd have to go for England to I think England to because it would really piss off a lot of like fans that hate England. Because they're always going, oh, you keep going on about 1966. And it's just totally out of my comprehension that West Brom could ever lift the Premier League trophy unless, I don't know. So I suppose I'd have to go for England.
I was going to say, I was very surprised to see. I didn't know that West Brom had actually won the English title, the top English title. Mm-hmm. I didn't realise it was just over 100 years ago in 1919/1920.
Yeah, well, we were one of the original 12.
Mm.
So we must have won it at some point just by logistics. We had a really cracking team in the 70s. I mean, we were second, I think.
Mm.
We were second in the first division. We're in Europe. You know, I mean, at one point we had 5 England players.
Yeah.
In the Albion team. And I actually remember going to watch them with my dad. I remember going to see, like, Laurie Cunningham and Brian Robson and play for Albion, so...
I was going to say, it's got such a rich history. You'd say West Brom are a big club. A lot of the Midlands clubs are big, really. And they might not have always spent time in the Premier League, but they certainly do. They certainly do have a rich history.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the League Two playoffs at Wembley when we were playing Port Vale. And they said that they were the most ever fans for a side, because normally a lot of corporate tickets are sold. But with League Two, none of the corporates want to go. So they just sold the tickets to the fans. So I think there was 45,000 West Brom fans and 9,000 Port Vale fans. And it was just brilliant just to see all these people driving down to Wembley from the Midlands with all the scarves flying out of the cars and everything. I mean, it was a proper day out.
Oh, fantastic. And my last question for this round is, do you find that when you gig in the Midlands, in the Black Country, that your fandom comes across to the audience? So have you found a bit of a following amongst West Brom fans or people in West Brom in general?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, that was my dog.
Dog popped up.
Wants to join in now, just
again. He's welcome.
If you look very closely, he's got a West Brom collar on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, West Brom fan, aren't you, Bert? I talk about being a West Brom on stage. And interestingly, I've had, was it in Blackpool once? I think it was Blackpool. And this guy came up to me and he was head of the Manchester West Brom association, fans. And they used to get a coach he used to organise the coaches to come down to the Albion to watch the matches. But it was when Tony Pulis was our manager. And he said, I'm not going down until that twat's gone. I think as well, I get talking a lot to the comedians about football.
Hmm.
And especially I think there's more solidarity amongst the fans of the less, you know, not the top four sides, because everybody gets a bit jaded listening to, you know, Chelsea and Man U and Man City and Liverpool. It all gets a bit, and, you know, I mean, the comedian's Facebook page talking about football away from pricks. And yeah. I'm like, no, most of you are pricks at the moment. So it's just the same conversations. So it's quite nice to have a conversation with somebody who supports a team that's not always successful.
I absolutely agree with you there. And in fact, that's what led to me creating this podcast. It was kind of, I mean, I'm a very kind of basic, boring bloke in the sense of my my sort of first conversation starter is, did you watch the game last night? Do you know what I mean? And, yeah. And I did find that a lot of comedians who I wouldn't expect to have any interest in sport whatsoever are not only football fans, but they are obsessed. There's an obsessive gene in some of them. They might never have mentioned on television, on radio, or even in their stand-up yeah. or on social media that they ever follow a team. But I'll sometimes talk to someone and they'll just go into such detail. Don't get me wrong, you're right, there is the odd disappointment. There's nothing worse than, you know, I might be down in Brighton or something and I'm just chatting to sort of, a 19-year-old young comic and he's like, oh, I'm into football. Right, who do you support? Man United, mate. Right. Oh, no, I'm not a Glory supporter. You know, my dad supported them. Oh, where's he from? Oh, Sussex. You know, it's like...
Yeah, I know, exactly. And you can't explain it, can you? It's interesting you say that, though, how you can connect over football. I was in... I was with a friend, another comedian, actually, and we're in a pub in Birmingham. I don't know, I can't remember where we'd been. But we thought, we'll just pop into the Vic, which is like a little local pub right in the city centre. And... I'd got my West Brom sort of jacket on, and this guy was sat down and started to make a fuss of my dog, and he said, "Oh, you're a West Brom fan?" I was like, "Yeah," and he was chatting away. I said, "Oh, who do you support?" And he was talking about, I said, "I support Brighton," and we started to chat about that. And I said, "Oh, what's your name?" He went, "Rory, Karen. Lovely to meet you." Blah 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 blah. My friend nudges me. He goes, "Do you know who that is?" And I went, "No," and he went, "It's Rag and Bone Man." And I had no idea who it was. Didn't know what he looked like. Obviously, I knew his songs.
Yeah.
And I'd been humming one of his songs that day. I'd no idea. So we were just chatting about football.
It's a funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter with the handle @ComTalkFootyPod. That's @ComTalkFootyPod.
One of my favourite things coming back from a gig, coming back from London on the train, and I'd got a bottle of wine, and I was just swigging the wine out of this bottle. And there were a couple of, blues fans who'd just been down to see a match. And then there's this guy that was sat opposite me, and he was just smiling and nodding at some of the things we were saying. I didn't know any of these people, by the way. And then this guy went, I said, "Oh, are you a football fan?" And he went, "Yeah." I said, "Who do you support?" He went, "Charlton." And then we were just like, it was like all these smaller teams having this chat on the train. And you could see some probably see some people thinking, "I want to join in, but I'm a Man United fan." Brings people together.
Oh, absolutely. I get really fascinated. I get really excited when there's someone who, you're right, if you sort of say, "Oh, who do you support?" And then they'll come out with something like, you know, Port Vale or Hereford or, yeah, you know, a Little League 2 team. I get really excited. So I sort of go, "Oh, do you remember this player or this?" You know, I'll sort of talk to, I might talk to someone who's a Cambridge fan, and I'll just get excited about sort of the players I know who sort of came up through there. And their attachments to certain big players who started their career there, like, I don't know, like Dion Dublin, something like that. And it can just turn into this big conversation, quite nerdy football conversation. But that's essentially what started this podcast. It's that. If someone's a kind of into, if someone says to me, "Oh, I'm all right with football," I'd be up for coming on. I'm kind of like, "Yeah, I'll let you know." But it's when someone comes to me and they're like, "Right, I know my stuff in football." It's great. It makes for a great episode. So with yourself then, once you became a fan alongside your brothers, what are your earliest memories of maybe going to West Brom fans or being a fan in general?
I remember going with my dad and sitting on his shoulders, obviously when it was, you know, in the stands, when you could stand up. And I didn't go a lot when I was younger because it was expensive, you know, you know, we weren't that well off to go. But every now and again, my dad would get tickets from through his work friends. And I remember the once he'd got his tickets and he was really excited to go to it. We all sat there. And then I always remember we were playing Newcastle. And we realised that we were sat amongst the Newcastle fans. And my dad said, if we score, don't jump up, don't cheer. And we were like, oh, okay. So we just sat there and we didn't score. Newcastle scored three times. And they must have thought, that's a really odd family that are in the midst of this crowd, just sitting looking really forlorn, not cheering. So I remember that. Remember going with my dad when we got promoted. And it was between us and Wolves. And it was the last game of the season. And we were playing Crystal Palace. And we were right next to the Crystal Palace fans. And all the Palace fans were like joining in with us and kept, you know, sort of putting their thumbs up and smiling and waving. And then when we got promoted, everybody just ran on the pitch. And I said, come on, Dad, let's go on the pitch. He was like a naughty schoolboy that he couldn't go on the pitch. So I grabbed his hand and I pulled him onto the pitch and he just like stepped and on his face, it was such a picture. It was like, you know, he was a grown man. It was just like he stepped on the hallowed ground. I said, come on, you can go across the, across the line. No, 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 I'll just stay here. So, yeah, I remember that.
That's great. That reminds me of my dad a little bit in the sense of not wanting to go on the pitch when he was older, because when he was younger, about 13, 14, I think it was an England game he went to, and he ran on the pitch and I think got like hit by a policeman or something. It was obviously, you know, fans were a lot more, a bit more rowdy back then. So police were a little bit more brutal with them. My dad ran onto the pitch at Old Wembley and got, I think, like a bit of a sort of a bit of a boot to the back of the head, something like that. And so many years later, when I was about 11 or 12, we went to the old division, what would have been, I think, the equivalent of now League One, playoff semi-final, and we got through to the final in quite a dramatic fashion. And at the full time, everyone ran on the pitch except me and my dad, because my dad was very much holding me back. We're not allowed. And I was so upset because the next day at school, all my mates, were you on the pitch? Were you on the pitch? So I had to lie and pretend I was, knowing full well it was just me and my dad left in the stand. So years later, when we got promoted to the Premier League, I think it was in 2012, I was like, right, this time, Dad, we are going on. Then you're not big enough to stop me now with going on. And he was the same as your dad. He felt very naughty going on again. That 14-year-old in him came out again.
Yeah, it reminds me when we played Portsmouth and it was, we were fighting relegation. And if we won, Southampton would go down. So all the Portsmouth fans obviously were supporting us. And they all had gone into the club shop and loads of them had bought Albion shirts. So it was like the whole ground was supporting Albion and it was surreal. At one point, all the Portsmouth fans were singing, let them score, because they wanted Southampton to go down. And then when we won, they invaded the pitch with us. So that was,
I love it, stuff like that. I think it was similar when, you know, the infamous Man City win in 2012, the Aguero moment. I think on that same day, QPR survived because of results elsewhere. So I think the whole stadium ended up celebrating the same thing. I love it when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, definitely.
So who were the earliest sort of footballers you remember seeing, whether it be kind of, you know, in person or just in general, the names you remember? You mentioned a few early on, but who were kind of your heroes early doors?
My Jeff Astle was one of my all-time, even from when I was little, apparently, and I couldn't say his name right, I used to call him Jeff Aspel. And I remember during the World Cup, you could collect these discs from petrol stations, and they'd got all the different players, and my brothers convinced me that you had to collect the same player. So every time they got a Jeff Aspel one, they would swap it with one of mine. So I had like 40 Jeff Astles and they collected the whole set. But I was happy because I love Jeff Astle.
Yeah.
And I've always had that. So I remember like the sort of the 70s team, like Jeff Astle, Tony Brown, Bomber Brown. And actually when it was weird, when we went to go and see the playoffs in Port Vale, as we were driving at Wembley Way, my dad was driving at Wembley Way, and there was a people carrier next to us with all the Albion greats in it. And that we were literally, because the traffic was just like edging forward, it's just like, oh my God, there was Tony Brown, there was Cyril Regis, there was all these like West Brom greats in these people carrying next to us. It was just surreal. So yeah, I mean, Laurie Cunningham, I had a poster of Brian Robson on my wall because I fancied him. Gosh. Yeah, I do really remember the team of the 70s, I guess, because that's when I first really got into it.
Mm.
And we were good.
Yeah, no, they were a fantastic team. And some of those players you mentioned, I always have a real soft spot for Jeff Astle because of his appearances on Fantasy Football alongside Badil and Skinner, obviously. Another comedian fan of West Brom, Frank Skinner, always been very keen to kind of voice him. And he starred on that quite a lot. I was watching, if you was a big fan of Jeff Astle, who I think was quite a kind of, you know, quite a mean player in his day, quite a no-nonsense player. And then, you know, years later, there he was on ITV every sort of night, dressing up as various pop stars and singing songs. It was great.
I remember the one night watching it. And when I was younger, I used to love the Wombles.
Yeah.
And I was watching Fantasy League Football, and my brain nearly exploded because Jeff Astle was dressed as a Womble. It's like my two worlds collided. I was like, what are you doing, Jeff? But yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he was one of the all-time greats at the Albion. And I mean, there's that thing when there's a bridge, I think in Tipton, and on it, it was painted, and it's been there, it was there for years, like Astle is King. And like, you know, no matter how much the council try and, it's always repainted on Astle is King. And then when he died, you know, the King is dead. Somebody painted the King is dead on it. And that's still there. Apparently it's still, as I say, they keep, but now they've actually made it into a sort of like heritage thing for him. So yeah, it's a lot of people at home had Jeff Astle as there. Because I think back then players stuck to the same teams, didn't they? There wasn't all this chopping and changing, you know. So I can't remember how many games you racked up, but you know, that doesn't happen as much these days.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There is, I mean, a lot of those players you mentioned then, you know, including Astle and, you know, Cyril Regis, they were players who you connect to one club. It's same, I suppose, with Bobby Charlton, with George Best, Trevor Senior. You know those players from the 70s and the 80s. You go, and he played for this team, he played for that team. They might have popped off elsewhere, but they spent the majority of their career in one place. And I suppose that, you're right, that's not really a thing anymore with Premier League teams. You can have somebody sort of, you know, they used to be, even in the 90s when I sort of grew up watching football, there's certain teams you knew, like, players should not play for both these teams. I mean, I remember the absolute sort of madness of Paul Ince being a Man United player and a few seasons later playing for Liverpool. It was really controversial. Whereas now you sort of think, well, no one would really bat an eyelid now.
Yeah. And I think that's why, and I suppose as well, I mean, I've got respect for players that do stick with the team. Mm. I mean, you look at Vardy when he stayed with Leicester and he could have quite easily jumped ship.
Yeah,
and I think Grealish as well. I mean, Grealish could have left Villa a lot earlier than he actually did. And I respect them for that because, and the fans respect them. And I know they've got no loyalty to club. They don't have to. They've got to go where the money is. But I think as a fan, you know, you don't expect it of them, but when they do it, you kind of, you know, think a lot more of them. Well, I do.
No, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. I mean, your favourites at your club are never somebody who stayed there on, you know, 6 month loan or anything like that, or a short contract. They're the players who either sort of came up through the you know, locals who came up through the team, or players who were there for a long time. Absolutely spot on. So speaking of sort of like the modern era now, you've got a lot of great memories, kind of like the 70s and the 80s. But how do you still get to West Brom games now as often as you can? Do you still get to?
I haven't been. You know what? I've lost respect for the Albion.
Oh.
The way they treated Slaven Bilic, I thought was appalling. And the way that he, you know, we drew at the Etihad and he was already sacked, and basically it had been leaked. So he was sitting on a coach with his players coming back, and they knew he was sacked before he did. And he was so respectful in his statement, and he was so, if they'd, you know, he didn't have any support, they didn't back him, you know, and I thought they sacked him far too early.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just, the way they treated him, it was, I just thought, you know what, that is just appalling. And then they've just had this, we've had the top trump of shit managers. I mean, and it's one after another after another, and there's just no thought that goes into it. I mean, we had bloody, oh God, Sam Allardyce. What? Somebody accused me of not being a fan because I said, well, if they lose under Allardyce, I don't give a shit because I can't stand the man. And they were saying, well, you're not obviously a proper fan. And I'm like, well, you know, can't you sort of question your team's morals and ethics? I think you can. And so I have been a bit disillusioned with them. And I think as well, talking, because knowing Adrian, a lot of his friends sort of know people in the media, have worked at the Albion, so they know a lot of the background information. So they kind of let you know what's going on with the board and stuff. And it's all, our owner at the moment is just a rogue. He's just a rogue. And until he's gone, I've got little interest of going there at the moment, which is awful because I've never said that before. Of course, I'm the born optimist. And it's when I go with Adrian, I mean, Adrian is the absolute opposite. I mean, I remember we were playing QPR and we were winning 5-1, and he kept looking at his phone to see how much time we'd got left. And I went, mate, are we going to win now? And he went, nah, just one more and I'll be happy. We score again. And he's still like, you're not going to say one more. And he still goes one more. And then he goes into extra time. When he goes to extra time, he always starts his stopwatch on his phone.
Oh, so really?
And he keeps looking at it. I'm going, mate, it's 7-1. Nothing's going to happen now. And he's genuinely like, oh, no, it's not until the final whistle.
It's a funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
Well, one thing I haven't done, Karen, yet is I always get stick for this from the listeners, is that is when I don't stay with the format. I haven't given you any of our emergency facts yet. What I do is I, to show I've done some research, I hit the guest with some emergency facts about their own club, to see if it's something that they might not know about the club they support. So it is a really fun fact that I found out, and I genuinely would never have thought this. Yeah, so did you know, at an altitude of 551 feet above sea level, the Hawthorns is the highest of all the 92 Premier League and Football League grounds?
I did know that.
Excellent. I mean, it's a cool fact. I never knew it, but I imagine it's something you'd know as a fan.
Yeah, we do know it. And also, it's strange as well, because when games get cancelled because of weather, the Albion is quite often frozen or, you know, snow and everything. People go, it's the altitude.
Some other facts I found out, which I thought was quite interesting, which was the 2004-2005 season saw West Brom become the first team in the Premier League to avoid relegation, having been bottom of the table at Christmas.
Yes, The Great Escape. I've got that on DVD.
Excellent.
Brian Robson was manager at the time.
Love it. Love it.
And Jeff Horsfield, who I actually became quite good mates with, scored the second goal.
Oh, really?
Well, through Adrian, I got his best mate, Simo, used to work at the press.
Right.
So I got to know Jeff and also Chris Brunt. He comes to my comedy club because he lives in Sutton. I met Richard Snakers as well. But yeah, that's it really. I do get a little bit, it's weird, I get a bit tongue-tied when I meet players. But Chris Brunt's lovely. He's a really nice guy.
Oh, it's great. I'm the same, you know, and it means nothing to anyone else. But, you know, when it's your team and someone you used to watch week in, week out, you do get starstruck. And this is another one you'll know, of course. I'll give you two more emergency questions. Emergency questions. It's not Rastapa. Rastapa. That's what I've nicked it from. So one is that I didn't know this, that they're originally called the West Brom Strollers.
Strollers, yeah.
Could not see that catching on now, could you? A football team in the Premier League called Strollers.
It probably could catch on speed with the attitude of some of the players. But yeah, I knew that. Yeah, the West Brom Strollers. And do you know why we called the Baggies?
I think I saw it here, but remind me.
Well, the rumour is because it was the shorts that they used to wear.
Right.
But it wasn't that. It was a lot of the fans used to go straight from the factories to the football.
Oh.
And they had the big sort of big baggy sort of pockets and trousers. And the other fans used to say, "Here come the Baggies."
Never knew that. I never knew that. So we're going to finish off then. My favourite part of any episode where I ask our guests to put together a fantasy five-a-side team. Now, obviously, these are made up of West Brom players, the team you support. But I don't want all your favorites. I don't want all the best. I don't want the greatest players of all time. You know, all I want is five players that mean something to you, Karen Bailey. I want players that, you know, I might not have ever heard of. Maybe our listeners haven't even heard of. But the players that mean something to you. It doesn't necessarily have to be a keeper, two defenders, midfielder, striker. It could be any five players at all. So it's over to you. You are the gaffer. Who are you going to pick?
Right. Well, I'm going to go for reasons. Obviously, I suppose they are good players. But my first would be Brian Robson.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in love with him and had a poster on my wall. And I eventually met him and when I was a comedian and spent a night drinking with when he was just after we'd survived relegation. And I was in this Manchester hotel and there was him, Nigel Pearson and the club doctor and the kit bloke. And my friend said, "Oh, go and say hello." And I was like, I can't. Anyway, long story short, I went over, said hello. And they said, "Oh, do you want to have a drink?" So I sat drinking with him. And he was absolutely lovely. But if you'd have said to my teenage self, "You will sit next to Brian Robson and have a glass of red wine," I'd have gone, "Nah." So I'm picking him. Also, brilliant. As well, I thought he was a brilliant player, not a very good manager. You can't be good at everything. So he's definitely in the squad. I have to have Jeff Astill.
Of course.
Because, I mean, that's just a no-brainer because I collected all those World Cup discs for a reason.
And have you my still got three-year-old. Them?
Oh, no, God, no. I think my mum probably threw them away. She probably, you know, all 40 of them.
I used to know about you, but my dad used to get really annoyed because the ones that you got in around the world, I collect them for World Cup 98 when I was a kid, and they're around the same size as £2 coins, which came out around that time. So my dad would go around the house going, "Oh, £2. Oh, it's another Paul Scholes or Graham Lasso." Sometimes my dad would get to like a shop or something and he'd pull out what he thought was maybe a 10p or a £2 and it would just be something like, "Sorry, sir, we don't accept David Beckham as currency, you know. It's like, so I have an image of just your parents going around your house finding little Jeff Astles everywhere.
I know. And the fact was, I was perfectly happy with my 40 Jeff Astles.
Yeah. You know,
who wouldn't be? Right, so that's two. Who else would I have? I would have, right, I'm going to have this player. because he'll be a player that some people might have heard, well, they will have heard of, that he's from, I've never saw him play. His name's Derek Kevin.
Okay.
And the reason I'm choosing him is because my brother is named after him.
Oh,
as
really?
In Kevin, as in K-E-V-A-N. And there is actually a Derek Kevin suite at the Albion. And I walked past it with Adrian once. I went, oh, Derek Kevin, there's a suite here. I said, my brother's named after him. And he went, what, Derek? No, Kevin, you twat. So Derek Kevin, because my dad wanted to call my brother Kevin. My mom says, I'm not having him called Kevin. And my dad says, what about Kevin? She's all quite like that, not realising that my dad has just named her firstborn after a footballer. So that's got to be, I mean, my brother's nearly 62, so that's got to be a first for being named after a footballer.
Yeah, that's going back a bit. I've just had a look at this fella, because I've not heard of Derek Kevin before. And I mean, he played for a lot of top teams. You know, he was at West Brom for 10 years, which is normally when you spent 10 years at a club, that's your career over. But no, went on to play for Chelsea, Man City, Crystal Palace, Peterborough United, Luton Town, Stockport County, Macclesfield Town, Boston United, Stourbridge and Ansells. So he had a basically nearly a 20-year career, which is just absolutely fantastic. But what really shocked me was I think this is really good stats, especially by today's standards, which never really get anywhere near here. In his 10 years, he made 262 appearances for West Brom, but he scored 157 goals, which, you know, is cracking, really. So really a legend of the club, no doubt.
Yeah, and a lovely story. When my dad passed away, they've got a memorial garden in my dog's getting in the way again. They've got a memorial garden at the Hawthorns, and we're gonna get some of my dad's ashes and put them in the memorial garden. And my friend Simo knew Derek Kevin's son, and he got in touch with Derek's son and told him the whole story about my brother being named after him. And their family said they'd be honored if my dad was put next to his plot.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a nice story, isn't it?
That's really, really lovely. That's really lovely. A great addition to the lineup.
Who else? I've got to have Bomber Brown, Tony Bomber Brown.
Right, okay, nice.
He's a West Brom legend.
Yeah.
And what I love so much about Tony Brown, he's Albion. If you cut him in half, you would see the blue and white stripes. Hmm. He is a commentator on West Midlands, on BBC WM. And just listening to him talk about the Albion, he's so knowledgeable. And when we're not playing well, he breaks it down. He knows what, and then, but when we score, he goes mental. And just to hear him like that excited. And also as well, he was a brilliant player. There's actually a statue at the Albion of Bomber Brown.
Amazing.
And now I'm torn. Can I have another player and two on the subs bench?
Yeah, go on then. We'll let you off. I just want to say quickly, I'm sort of looking up some of these players I'm not too familiar with myself. Looking up Tony Bomber Brown. First of all, what I absolutely love is the positions he's listed at. As a very old school, like these days, you'd never have Jack Grealish playing wing half or inside forward. You know, I absolutely love that sort of. I'd love it one day now. You know, you're like Mane's going to play wing half. I absolutely love it. I mean, this lad, he was at West Brom for just short of 20 years, 574 appearances, 218 goals. You know, a really real legend. Obviously, at West Brom. He returned to West Brom in 1981.
I think, is he the highest goal scorer for West Brom? I think he might be.
I was just going to say quickly that he did leave for a little while and came back in 1981, but in his time off, he played for New England T-Men and Jacksonville T-Men. No idea what clubs they are. I've no doubt probably have brought it over to America or something, but yeah. I love that he went and played at these little clubs where he scored lots of goals and came back and sort of finished his career at West Brom for one last season. I absolutely love that. So again, fantastic cult-like player. We always call these like a cult-like five-a-side because they end up being full of cult players from the club. So this is the sort of thing that goes down great.
So my last is I'm going to have three players.
Go for it.
That were known as 3 Degrees at West Brom after the singing group. Because West Brom famously was one of the first team to have black players.
Yeah.
And there was Cyril Regis, Laurie Cunningham and Brendan Batson. It was just amazing to see black players. You know, they were the first black players. I don't know whether they were the first black players at a club, but I know that at the time, Albion having 3 black players was like unheard of. And then there was the whole Ron Atkinson scandal where he purportedly said that he allegedly said that he'd discovered the 3 Degrees. He didn't. No. They were already at the Albion. but, I mean, Laurie Cunningham went on to be the first ever black player to go to Real Madrid. Cyril, just an Albion legend. I mean, people were so... They had a massive memorial for him when he died. He died way before his time. Was he 60 or something? Something ridiculous. And, of course, and then Brendan Batson. So I would have those three just for what they stand for, I think.
Fantastic. And I mean, we talked earlier about, you know, the Midlands clubs having such a rich history. Let's just look at that team there, including substitutes, of course, you know, Brendan Batson, Laurie Cunningham, Cyril Regis, Tony Bomber Brown, Derek Kevan, Jeff Astle and Brian Robson. What a lineup.
I know, and I'm not going for the fact that they were brilliant players reasons. That's not, you know, I mean, the fact that I fancied one, I mean, is a pretty pathetic reason, isn't it? Even though he had a third division perm.
Trust me, there's been, for this section of the podcast, there have been stranger picks for stranger reasons. And I'm really glad you sort of, you made the sensible decision there to say, look, I can't decide here. Can I have a substitute as opposed to Maisie Adam, who sort of created her own hybrid of two different goalkeepers. She kept one keeper's hands and one keeper's legs while she tried to explain to me the biology of how that would work. So yeah, that was all over the shop.
Yeah. Well, in saying that, I've sort of loosely said they're subs, but they're no way are they subs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. We'll tell you what we'll call them. It's 5-a-side. You can do roll-in subs. When one of them get a bit knackered, we'll bring them on.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. When Derek gets a bit knackered, we can bring one on.
Exactly. And hey, now, well, I could see you maybe calling off Brian Robson to sit next to you on the bench for a little while as the gaffer.
Oh, God, absolutely. Well, not on the bench. You can sit on my lap. Sod me too. Well, I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, of course you can say whatever you want. Whatever you want. Trust me, Charlie Austin said a lot worse on this podcast.
I'm definitely going to listen to that now.
Well, Karen, thanks so much for coming on. I've really enjoyed this. It's been a great chatting to you.
It's been lovely.
And I just want to finish on a question that I was going to use for the quickfire round. You might have noticed there wasn't anything too specific to West Brom fans there, but I thought in the end I'd take this question out and I'd leave it at the end for us to finish on. And that question is, what is that boiler all about?
Fuck knows. It's embarrassing. It is so embarrassing. And do you know what? What's so funny, when it first arrived, I think the throstles, the other, it was so funny because the one was faffing about with his football boot. He took his football boot and just rested it on the boiler's head. Because it was flat. I feel so sorry for the bloke in that costume.
Oh dear. Right, thanks again, Karen. See you soon.
Thank you so much. Bye.
It's the funny old game.
A huge thank you once again to Karen Bailey for being our first guest on this new series of Comedians Talking About Football. If this is the first time you've listened to the podcast, then as I said, you're very welcome. If you like what you heard, why not go back and listen to some of the episodes in the previous three series? We've had some amazing guests who include Maisie Adam, Josh Pugh, Adam Mensah, Nathan Caton, Mark Olver, the cast of This Country, and we have got some great guests coming up later in this series, so why not subscribe? Also worth saying, why not follow us on the socials as well? If you search Comedians Talking About Football into Facebook or YouTube, we should come up there. Give us a follow on either of those, and you can find us on X or Instagram. It still feels weird saying X, doesn't it? It's Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on both. It's the same handle, which is @ComTalkFootyPod. That's @ComTalkFootyPod. And if you really enjoyed the podcast, why not leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as well? We really appreciate it. Or at the very least, just tell your friends that this is a podcast you think they might enjoy. Until next time, where my guest will be Josh Pugh. Once again, we're going back to our interview with him in 2021, and we're going to be talking more in depth about his involvement with the Futsal England football team, because he's currently, as this podcast goes out, playing in the partially sighted World Cup. So we're going to be revisiting a chat we had with Josh. And after that, we'll be speaking to Matt Hobbs about Bristol City FC. Until then, I've been Sam Michael. Thanks very much for joining me on this episode of Comedians Talking About Football.
Football. At the end of the day. Football. It's a funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Sports Social Podcast Network.